Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Hour two here on a pre-Super Wild Card weekend. I'm so excited to sit on my couch and watch so much football. Basically, everything else is off the agenda this weekend. It's freezing cold. I'm going to do nothing but football. We're going to do picks in hour three. I feel really good. I feel like I kind of know what's going to happen this weekend.
Whoever says that? That's like saying, wow, can you believe we haven't hit traffic yet? Like, who pumps up their picks before you make them?
I know.
You are tempting fate.
You're right. I'm doing the opposite. We learned in hour one, Tom Brady lies in every press conference and says the opponent is good, and he's been lying up a storm about the Philadelphia Eagles. So that should not make Eagles fans feel good. But, Maggie, I think there's an underrated, I don't know if it's a storyline, a positional storyline. I'm hearing all about quarterbacks all week. Ranking the all the playoff quarterbacks, Jimmy G, Kyler Murray. I think we're going to come in on Monday morning and Tuesday morning, because there's also a Monday night playoff game, and we're going to be talking about another position altogether.
Wow. Smella against the grain.
Hit the music.
Against the grain.
That position is long snapper.
Giddy up.
No, I think, by the way, that cold weather game with the Bills Pats, that guy better. I don't know who the long snappers are in that game.
Wait, are you being serious?
No. It's actually defensive end. Ruined the whole thing. So have you noticed lately that this has been a defensive end blowing up game year? We saw it last week in the Raiders Chargers game. That was the Max Crosby game.
Yep.
We saw 2 weeks ago the TJ Watt game. We've seen a million Aaron Donald games. We've seen five Micah Parsons games this year. I'm going to, for you and for the audience, rank my five defensive linemen who are about to blow up a game this weekend. I'm going to go 5-1. You have no idea this was going to happen.
No.
I'm springing it on you. I know you're just as excited as everyone else out there. Okay, my number five guy who's going to blow up a game this weekend. The defensive player of the year, TJ Watt. And I'm not saying the Steelers are going to win, but he did nothing when the Chiefs blew them out. The Chiefs know he's coming. He is healthy, and he's super, super fired up. So he's my five.
Wait, TJ I feel Watt. Like we need to transition to a drum roll or something.
Yes.
Whenever we do a countdown, I feel like it's obligatory to do a drum roll.
But we have the NFL Films music underneath.
I know, but all right. Well, keep going.
Okay. Number four. TJ Watt's a boring one. That's with the grain. Number four, Max Crosby on the Raiders is my favorite player now. So the Bengals, one thing I noticed about the Bengals, Joe Burrow gets rid of the ball immediately. He's sort of pass rush agnostic.
Yeah, he has to, because that offensive line stinks.
But Max Crosby is the guy who has really emerged as a star this year. He's my number four. Number three is Aaron Donald. That's so obvious I don't even need to mention it.
I think we have a drum roll.
All right.
Okay, let's fade out the NFL music and let's fade it. There we go. That was seamless, Stu. Number two.
So here's a guy who I think is actually going to be the key player in the biggest game of the weekend. Nick Bosa on San Francisco 49ers. I know he's a star. I still think he's the most underrated superstar in the NFL.
Okay.
He did not make the All-Pro team, as far as I know. He's impossible to block. And unlike these other guys, he blows up run plays all the time. I think he's going to come out like a house on fire and be a huge problem for the Dallas Cowboys. Are you buying that, Maggie Gray?
I think he's going to have a good game, yes.
Good. Oh, come on. Give it to me, Maggie. This is against the grain. But my number one
guy. He's going to be incredible.
My number one surprise star this weekend. Trey Hendrickson on the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, wow.
That's against the grain. So the Bengals beat Raiders earlier in the season. They beat him 32-13. The game was actually much closer. There was one big problem for the Raiders, and his name was Trey Hendrickson. All year long, the Bengals, just like the Cowboys, were terrible on defense last year. They make one key signing this offseason. Trey Hendrickson completely transformed the pass rush. So against Vegas, earlier in the season, he had four pressures, two hurries, a sack, and a forced fumble on just 25 pass rush snaps. That's a pretty good percentage. I don't mean to go all PFF on you, but this dude nobody talks about. Nobody even knows. He could walk into the studio right now, and we probably would know. We're like, wow, who's that big dude? I think he's one of your potential stars, but I feel like everyone's talking about the quarterbacks. We're totally going to be talking about pass rush come Monday.
You know, I like this against the grain. I think this is a good one. This was really good. This is probably the best one of the week.
What?
I think you had a reason to.
Is that like a Tom Brady compliment where you're saying that and you don't mean it?
No, I mean this one. I really, really mean this one.
You know, people on radio can't see your eyes rolling, Maggie, by the way.
Thank you to CBS Sports Network that picked up on it. No, I do like this one. I also think it's a little different because even though pass rushers, we know, obviously, in the draft, they're always a hot commodity. They get paid a ton. I feel like the kind of common thing has been about corners. You know, corners are the ones in the playoffs that have always been getting the shine lately. Not that we're forgetting about pass rushers, but, you know, it's about corners and it's about, you know, how are you going to try to bait Mahomes into something and how are you going to do this and do that?
Trayvon Diggs. Everyone's excited to see what Trayvon Diggs is going to do for Dallas.
But then, like, we should also remember what playoff football really is. It's a lot of running the ball and it's a lot of, you know, forcing turnovers and trying to do that and make a quarterback uncomfortable with the pass rush. Yeah. I think you're totally right. And I like your list.
Last year, the Bucs, Shaq Barrett, just transformed the whole postseason. Mm-hmm. One name I did not put on there was your guy, Micah Parsons. I heard a headline this morning that against the Niners, since they do not pass the ball as much as other teams, he's going to move back to his old interior linebacker position and be solely focused on slowing down the run game.
Oh, I think that's probably pretty smart of Dan Quinn.
Do you think that's smart, or do you think you're sort of neutralizing your best weapon, which has been Micah Parsons chasing the quarterback?
I think it's probably something that we either see in the first half that gets adjusted in the second half, or not at all.
See, that gets back to our earlier conversation. The problem with the Cowboys is that they're great when you're behind two touchdowns against the Cowboys, and you get Micah Parsons can pin his ear back and come after the quarterback, so the quarterback's throwing it up in the air, and Trayvon Diggs is tracking it down, and they're doing great dances, and they're getting turnovers. But if it's a slow-paced run game, all of a sudden you've neutralized Parsons, and Trayvon Diggs has nothing to do with the game. So I feel like this is a bad formula for Dallas.
You still haven't convinced me, though.
I'm trying so hard.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That's how you can get in touch with the show. Let's head to the busy phones. It's Chelsea. She's in Redding, California. She's a big 49er fan. What's going on, Chelsea?
Hey, I actually think it's slightly premature to assume that the Dallas Cowboys are going to have a home field advantage when traditionally the Niners fan base travels extremely well. And while I will put an asterisk on last week's game against the Rams, where their home team was on a silent count and the traveling team was able to do a hard count, I think you're going to see something extremely similar happen in Dallas.
Oh, wow. Chelsea, are you going to the game in Jerry World?
I cannot afford to go to the game. I am a college student.
Okay, fair.
I agree 100% with Chelsea. This is going to...
The 49er fans have proven this over and over again that they travel well.
And we were talking about, I don't think Dallas is one of those like Pittsburgh Steelers fan bases. I know there's millions of loyal Cowboys fans.
Definitely.
But it's kind of fancy there in Jerry World. I can see some sort of low-rent Niners fans sneaking in and yelling a lot. Well, and you saw what happened with the Rams.
I know, but this is... The Cowboy fan, though, holds this in their hands. You're the one who decides if you want to sell your tickets on the secondary market, you know, for the season ticket holders, right? Like, you're the ones who are deciding whether or not another fan base is going to be able to really invade, because that's how you do it, right? You flip the season ticket holders.
Yeah, but it's always the same fan base. It's always the Chargers and the Rams let everybody in. What about your home stadium, Buffalo?
Yeah.
I can't believe how cheap tickets are. Is this just the weather, or I would think in a town like Buffalo, a one-team town, that everybody be dying to go and paying anything they could to get in the stadium.
Yeah, well, there's a hockey team, but yes.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry, Sabres fans.
Quite all right. You know, this is what I really think is going on in Buffalo. First of all, they made a lot of upgrades to the stadium, and they've added a lot more seats and stuff like that. But again, no excuses. This is going to be sub-zero temperatures. who in their right mind wants to play in this or wants to go and watch this in person? The freezing cold game, to me, is the most overrated thing possible. It's one thing if you want to play in the snow. The snow is charming. It's great for TV. It looks fun. And, you know, you get these epic things like Adam Vinatieri kicking the field goal in the snow and all that, right? And there's been great snow games in Buffalo. But just bitter cold where the NFL decides to put this game in a prime time. So you're outside in the middle of January in Buffalo. I mean, you got Josh Allen already said that its circulation is bad to his feet. Bart Scott told him to take Viagra. Dawson Knox said that it could trigger a false PED test. You got Mac Jones on the other side. I guarantee Belichick doesn't want to do this. I mean, I know they won a lot of cold weather games in New England. Mac Jones is from Jacksonville. He's already said he hates the cold. If I'm a fan, which I am, I don't want to go and sit outside when it's -2.
So I guess you're not a fan then. Because come on. I mean, why don't you go be a Miami Dolphins fan? Why don't you follow the LA Chargers
if only I was born somewhere else. I love the Bills to death. I hate cold weather.
I grew up going to Eagles games, and there was not an empty seat on a cold weather game, and nobody cared. And you know why? Because they were so damn liquored up that nobody cared. And
yes,
that's the key.
Because the Bills fans are like sitting in church.
You don't need Viagra. You need schnapps. Yeah, that's why you think the Bills fans. You know why they're worried about the cold? Because they're going to be shirtless diving on the tables. Honestly, this is kind of sad for a football fan base. I feel like you're saying that. You shouldn't admit that you won't go to the game because it's cold. This is football.
Listen,
this isn't golf.
I'll make an admission here to our audience because I'm secure enough in myself to say this. I don't go to baseball games before Memorial Day.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't want to sit in the cold. It's not exciting to me. It's not fun. It stinks.
Okay, wild card, I can at least give you an excuse. If this was the AFC title game and our bosses give you front row tickets and it's -5 degrees in Buffalo.
I'm going to go.
You're going to go.
I'm going to go.
But so
I'm
it depends
gonna,
on the round.
But I'm also not going to. But we're talking about tickets that are available in the 400 level. The lake effect is real.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that the whole fan base is just as soft as a team. Josh Allen has to take Viagra to get on the field. This is, by the way,
that he has to take Viagra. Yeah. Thank you, Bart. No, it was a suggestion. One that I don't know if he's ruled it out.
Oh, I know. Everyone's going to be wondering all game long. You're going to be, I don't even want to get into the logistics of this, but everyone's going to be checking out Josh Allen to see
what's going on.
Bart Scott's advice.
Well, if they're wearing the white pants, it's going to be more noticeable. I'm sorry if I'm not supposed to say something like that. The other funny thing, though, I was thinking about this yesterday as this story blew up so much that, like, my girlfriends, like my wolf pack of girls from high school and college who I'm still friends with, like, they texted me about this. And, like, that's when I know the story's crossed over. Like, my friends were like, I'm sure you've seen this, but, like, do they do this for real? Like, asking me if this is a thing.
They know that you used to host a show
with Bart, but they didn't even put that together. No. They're not thinking about football in that way. They don't remember the mad backer. But they were just like, guys, pass out Viagra before a game. Like, Maggie, explain. I can't.
Are you the go-to sports person on this text thread?
Well, yes. I mean, and I think any woman working in sports is probably the one of her friends who, you know, not to paint with a broad brush, but a lot of my friends aren't into it.
Are they all afraid of the cold and won't go to a game for their favorite team?
No, but that schnapps you were talking about, they'd probably be really into that.
Okay. That's a strategy that could work.
No, they're at the Joe Judge pity party with the Coors Light and stuff. Yeah, that's my friends. But I was thinking about this when Bart said that thing about the Viagra, because I think you and I were actually at this game together for Sports Illustrated. Were we both at the AFC Championship game Steelers-Jets in Pittsburgh?
I was not at that game.
You were not at that game? I thought it might have been you. That's the coldest game I've ever been to. That was, without a doubt, it affected, and like, again, I'm from upstate New York. I know this. I've lived it. Like, it's in my bones. That was the coldest game I've ever been to in my life.
Is that 2009?
It was 2010.
Okay.
It was right before Steelers-Packers Super Bowl. Ben Roethlisberger loses to Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, the one in Dallas. Okay. Yeah. Again, you're soft. Because Pittsburgh, I'm into so many cold games in Philly because, not to get into it, but it used to be kind of colder in November and December than it is now.
You want to talk about
that? And we had seats in the 727 section of Veterans Stadium, which is a little bit famous. It was wild. I learned and saw things that I'm not proud of.
You know, I think that's a lot of people, though. Like, I remember the first time I ever saw a trough urinal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like 10. Wait,
that should be the men's room, though.
No,
the
but women. You can kind of see through. It was at the old Meadowlands, and weirdly, it was for a World Cup soccer game in 1994 that I got to go to, and you could just sort of see, and it was just like very bizarre.
Wait, the Meadowlands had a trough as recently as 1994?
I think so. If I'm remembering correctly, yeah.
I know.
Really, I mean, I saw it a little bit like as I was like, you know, like waiting
yeah.
for people to come out of the bathroom.
What was your reaction to the set trough? Gross.
Vomit.
Yeah, it's the most disgusting thing. Now, yes. I remember the trough at Wrigley. I've seen that.
Man,
I've used that.
This is what happens when you start talking about Viagra.
So this is all your friend Bart Scott's fault. He kind of brought this entire game, this entire NFL wildcard weekend into the gutter. But the funny thing was, the way he was saying it, he was talking about a real strategic move to fight the cold here.
Oh, no. He was as serious as a heart attack. He said that this was heart medicine. Viagra was originally heart medicine, and then they found that it had this really amazing side effect. I don't know. Insert whatever adjective you want there.
A side effect that if it lasts 4 hours, you need to see your doctor
for. Yes, you need to consult a medical doctor and be rushed to the hospital. Depends how long this game's going to last, too.
We got to see who's. Do you know who's broadcasting this game? Because I'm very curious how they approach this topic.
Well, we know it's a CBS game.
Yes.
I've got my fingers crossed because I know he would really lean into it, but just in a fun way, is Ian Eagle.
Oh, Ian Eagle. I pay for a separate Manning cast of Ian
yes,
Eagle.
Just of Ian.
Talkie.
Same.
Ian, is he with Jonathan Vilma, I believe? But I think, who is he?
No, he's with Charles Davis.
He was with Charles Davis. Yeah, he's the best. Let's see. We'll find the broadcasting team. But you have to admit, that's a very delicate topic,
but
you can't avoid it.
Stu's on it. It's Ian Eagle and Charles Davis.
Oh, yes.
We're in good hands.
Although Charles is a gentleman. I don't know how Charles is going to approach this.
Also from upstate New York. All right, we've got a lot more to get to here. We're going to turn our attention back on the field because what happens when two feel-good stories collide? Forget Goliath. Who has the edge in the David and David matchup? We'll explain what we mean next. It's Maggie. Yeah. It's Perloff. It's on a Football Friday, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Maggie and Perloff, getting you set for Super Wild Card Weekend. So I mentioned as we were going to the break, what happens when two teams are colliding, Perloff, on the gridiron? But you kind of love them both. You know, there's no easy hero and villain for the Cincinnati Bengals and the Las Vegas Raiders. If you don't have a rooting interest in this one, right? If you're just in it because you love football, maybe you want to bet on the games, whatever, you're just a football fan. This is like David versus David. Who's the Goliath here? You know, the Bengals are an amazing story. They end up winning the AFC North for the first time since 2015, was it, right?
Andy Dalton.
There you
go.
You had to get him in. You had to get him in.
Well,
because Perloff's friends with every mediocre quarterback who's ever
mediocre. I think he made the Pro Bowl that year. He's 4-time Pro Bowl. Anyway, we're not going to get into a Dalton debate.
And how many playoff games has he won?
Zero.
Right. So you have, though, the rising star of Burrow. You've got the Jamar Chase. You know, you've got this great, you know, story in Cincinnati of the savior who's like one, basically a homegrown guy, you know, of organization that's been notoriously cheap.
Yep.
That finally spent just a little bit. You mentioned
Trey
they're
Henderson.
great pass rusher. So this is a great story. Who's like, who doesn't love a good Bengals story? And then on the flip side, you've got the Las Vegas Raiders, and like, find me somebody who doesn't think football's better when the Raiders are good.
Absolutely.
You won't find it. And how they got into the playoffs with that game against the Chargers, everything that they've gone through this season, how their interim head coach has done, how Derek Carr has gotten, I think, the respect that he finally really deserves. Like, listen, is he the world's greatest quarterback? No. But did he show just stones in that game against the Chargers on Sunday night? And that's what they needed at the right time. And the guy's shown a ton of leadership through a lot of adversity this year.
I think the more David team, or I don't know how you say that.
Yeah. The Davider of the Davids?
The Davider of the, I think there's more feel-good elements to the Raiders. Because Now, I know the Cincinnati Bengals are the traditional doormat, but they have Joe Burrow and they have Ja'Marr Chase, who are arguably two of the brightest stars in the NFL. They position themselves as the more talented team.
Oh, like, can you not be a full David if you are, if you have the number one overall pick as your quarterback?
Yeah, if you have the guy that I think some people, if they could pick any quarterback in the league to build around, if you take out Mahomes, maybe, would be Joe Burrow. Where the Raiders have lovable underdog types, led by Hunter Renfrow's is lovable a little, and he's an amazing player. Max Crosby on the defensive line, incredible story. Darren Waller, incredible story.
Yep.
Derek Carr has been beat up more than any quarterback in the NFL, in the media. So you kind of root for him.
And on the field.
And on the field. Even though I kind of disagree with you, I don't think he's been playing that great. I thought he could have put away the Chargers with a couple accurate throws the other day.
Yeah.
So I think people love that the Raiders overcame everything that happened with John Gruden. I think they're a little more feel good this year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think they showed like a lot. This is, I don't want to get into cliche territory here, but they've obviously shown that they felt like this season was something that was worth fighting for.
Right.
Because they had 100 different reasons for guys to fracture and splinter and go their different ways. And instead, they kept the focus. You know, they finished 5-2. You know, they had a nice stretch here, and it wasn't against like the world's best quarterbacks and stuff. And we can pick apart everybody's schedule. But the bottom line is, they had to win a game. They did it, and they're here. And I think there's a lot of people, and I'm going to count myself in it. I think they're rooting to see what Derek Carr could do in a playoff. Now, this might not be like a great matchup for the Raiders, or we'll see what happens. You know, this is a 5.5-point spread that Cincinnati Bengals are favored. We're going to make our picks in about an hour. But I think that, you know, Derek Carr, the last time the Raiders were in the Super Bowl, got hurt. The Super Bowl. Sorry about that.
Playoffs.
In the playoffs. Getting ahead of myself. He was hurt.
Yeah, was it Matt McGloin filled in? And that was a rough disgrace.
Yeah, not good. But he finally gets back to this stage, you know, and we can see what he can do. And then there's another part of this, which is just kind of intriguing beyond the game, which is he's going into the last year of his deal. So if he shows something in the playoffs, I mean, he could be playing for like, you know, like literally tens of millions of dollars.
Quarterback money. Yeah, he could get
true
$30 million a year.
But beyond that, it's like what does the franchise do? Because like, I'm not going to use this as a blanket statement for everyone, but I kind of feel this way. If you have somebody going into the last year of their deal and they're, you know, one of your best players and they have value on the market, if you're not planning to pay that person and extend that person, if you don't trade them before that final year, you're doing organizational malpractice. You get what I'm saying? If you have a great player who's going into the last year of their deal and you have no shot that you're going to pay them beyond next year and you can get value back for them on the trade market, you must trade them.
Is that the situation here, though? Because I don't think Derek Carr, first of all, there's a shot they will re-sign him. I think that's the most likely scenario.
It's possible.
Second of all, he's not exactly a guaranteed. It's not like the Cavs holding on to LeBron.
No, but can you get a first-round pick for Derek Carr?
I don't know. Do you really think, who's going to give him a first?
Sam Darnold was able to get a second-round pick.
And that was the worst pick. I think other teams are looking at, well,
no,
that did not work
out. It's a blueprint because teams get desperate. The Carolina Panthers saw something that wasn't there with Sam Darnold and convinced themselves to not just give them a second-round pick, but to give him the fifth-year option and $20 million. You don't think that a team who's got a good defense, who's got a decent offensive line and weapons, wouldn't say, man, Derek Carr could be our finishing piece. That's worth a first-round pick for us.
You know, one team is right here, New York Giants. You think they would look at, you know, maybe top of the second round? I don't think they're going to give up a top 10 pick for him.
They've got two first-round picks.
If they gave up a,
you can't do that. That's too high.
Yeah, it's way too high.
Maybe, but like a late first-rounder if
plus,
you had one?
You got to pay him, too. And yeah. I feel like you could just wait it out for free agency. Back to your point, the, you know, the Raiders could find themselves in a tricky spot here, but honestly, I think if they win this game, Derek Carr is a Raider for life. I think this is a huge game for them. I think also the other question is what happens with Rich Bisaccia, the interim coach, if they win this? You said earlier in the show that might not be enough.
I don't think so. I don't think that there's a lot that Rich Bisaccia can do to hang on to the job here. And I don't, listen, I know that might not be fair and the world's not fair. I think that the owner has stars in his eyes for somebody. Got wowed by Gruden. We already know he's willing to pay big bucks for a head coach, especially a superstar. And I think they'll take a run at Harbaugh.
Well, say they don't get Harbaugh because that's the only name out there. Look at these other names on the list.
Yeah.
Brian Flores had some success in Miami, but there's no other big names unless he's going to get a college coach. And I think that's too late anyway.
Yeah, I think Harbaugh's really the only guy. No, let's not forget where this came from. This came from Harbaugh.
Yeah, his
camp put this out, you know. Remember, it was that Harbaugh could be, you know, looking for a way to get back into the NFL.
Could you buy a scenario where the Raiders ownership is like, well, we're going to ask Jim Harbaugh just because that's too good to pass up. But if he says no, then we're not opening up for any other interviews.
And
we're
just rolling with Bisaccia?
Yeah, do you see that possible? I mean, come on. Look at the other names on there. We keep joking about Matt Eberflus, the Colts defensive coordinator. Maybe a Dan
Quinn.
Couldn't
pick him out of a lineup.
Maybe Dan Quinn if they have some success in Dallas in the postseason. Maybe Kellen Moore, Byron Leftwich, Eric Bieniemy. Any of these names big enough to boot Rich Bisaccia to the curb?
Maybe not one of those names. No, maybe not. Maybe not. But it depends how they want to go, what direction they want to go, and whether their general manager, Mike Mayock, is safe as well. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Love to hear from the Raider fans. How are you feeling about Derek Carr heading into this game? Do you feel like there's a lot on the line for him to maybe show the rest of the NFL what you've been watching, what you've been seeing from Derek Carr all of these years? And I'd love to hear from the Bengals fans, too. I mean, this game and the Bengals, however long the playoffs last for them, is going to determine just how much insufferable Joe Burrow hype we have going into next year. Is it going to be like, what's the level? Is it going to be like, fine? Is it going to be like, house on fire? Is it going to be like, make you want to vomit? Is it going to be...
Well, I think Justin Herbert's not even in the playoffs. Can you imagine what we're going to do with that guy this summer? We're going to turn him into the new Tom Brady. No, the Burrow hype is already...
And I love Burrow. By the way, that's not like a criticism. Yeah. I'm going to be on the train hyping him up.
Are you kidding? We love the next great quarterback more than we love anybody else in this country. It's Burrow's time. One quick question about Derek Carr. Do you like the hairstyle? The new... He sort of has like a frizzy mullet thing going. He used to be a buzz guy forever.
Yeah.
He talked about this year he's just letting his hair
just
grow.
Just let it go, man.
It looks terrible.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Like
he looks so bad on the sideline. Okay, we have to... That's another thing to put on our list to do this weekend. We have to evaluate Derek Carr. Something when it combines the helmet, he takes it off. I'm like, I can't trade for him. I can't trade a first rounder unless he
because
gets...
Because of the hair?
Yeah, it's the moss. He's got to decide. Is he going to go long? He's totally been in between land for the second half of the whole season. He's in hair limbo.
No, I like that it looks like he's always stepped out of a steam room.
It's way too frizzy.
The hair's like more wide than it is tall.
His brother, David Carr, who's now on the NFL Network, former number one overall pick, his hair is immaculate. It's
like
perfect.
He woke up and he's ready for the prom.
That part is so sharp, you could cut your hand by touching his hair. He is perfect. So I do not understand what Derek Carr is doing here. And I think it's important for his trade value. Just think about it.
I think I smell another against the grain.
Yeah.
I think it's like finally someone who can just be themselves. You know, they've got nothing left to prove to anybody. I'm going to wear my hair frizzy. Deal with it.
The other side, Derek Carr thing, is you ever dealt with that dude on Twitter? He is unpredictable. He could get super grumpy on social media towards people. He's never gone after me, but he's gone after a lot of my friends. If you criticize him on Twitter.
A lot of your friends? What, you got some kind of pack?
Yeah,
of
they're like,
wild dogs?
Like mid-level NFL writers will randomly say, oh, I think Derek Carr caused his game. He makes a mistake of jumping in there and saying, oh, yeah, who are you? And he blocks millions of people.
Oh, wow.
He's a huge blocker.
I didn't realize he was like with Kevin Durant in terms of like the social media stuff.
He's a low-key Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's out of control.
Yeah.
You know,
he's in his own stratosphere.
Yeah, I don't think there were burner accounts with Derek Carr, but we got to be very careful with the Maggie and Pearl Twitter feed. Because if we say anything mean about Derek Carr, in fact, I hope nobody actually cuts this thing about his hair, because he'll come after us.
He'll come after us. You. He'll come after you. I liked the hair.
Oh,
don't block me.
Don't be afraid
Derek.
Of Derek Carr's Twitter, Maggie. Just be honest here.
I'm scared to death. It's the bottom of the hour. Rich Ackerman is here. We're going to talk about underrated quarterbacks, not Derek Carr, other underrated quarterbacks going into wild card weekend. The most. Who tops the list? Rich, take it away.
This Saturday, NFL Wild Card Weekend kicks off with two big games on CBS. Saturday night at 8:15 Eastern, 5:15 Pacific. Primetime, the Patriots head to the very cold Buffalo to take on the Bills. Get set for kickoff at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific with the NFL Today. Then on Sunday, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific, it's a huge matchup in Dallas as the Niners pay a visit to Dak and the Cowboys. Two great playoff games, back-to-back days. It's Super Wild Card Weekend this Saturday night and Sunday afternoon only on CBS. Yes, Maggie, I'm so excited for this weekend.
Man, you just mentioned that Bills-Patriots game. A little bit of an update for you from the Patriots side. And it looks like their left tackle, Isaiah Wynn, is going to be out against the Bills.
Everything's shaping up Bills. You don't want to admit it because you're a Bills fan.
Don't say it.
I mean,
you're going to jinx it.
Okay. Well, I could say it. I'm not a Bills fan. It feels like everything in this game.
You're Bills adjacent.
Barmore's out as well.
I know. You're Bills adjacent now, though, because you're sitting next to me. It's Maggie and Perloff, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's put Bills Patriots to the side, though. Just want to give you that quick update because I just saw that injury report come out. We were talking about another very important game, obviously, as they all are. But Raiders-Bengals, it's like the team that we wish both teams could win somehow. For the Raiders, you want them to continue what has been a great story for them this season. Granted, up and down season with a lot of adversity. But now at the end, after winning that game on Sunday night against the Chargers, it's a very likable team. Want to see them advance. But as equally likable are the Cincinnati Bengals. And who doesn't want to see Joe Burrow advance in the postseason? So we want to hear from you. Again, 855-212-4227 is the number. Let's go to Hector. He's in California. Hi, Hector. How are you?
Hello?
Hey, Hector. Turn down your radio.
That was a TV. I'm sorry.
Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, you know what? This is Maggie, correct?
Yep.
You know what? I just want to give it to Mr. Carr because, you know, I like the fact where, you know, he's growing his hair, and I know he's a biblical man, and, you know, if this is giving him strength to, you know, to carry his team to where he's got to go, I'm way behind him. I've been a Raiders fan forever, and you know what? Most underdog coaches that we've had, you know, they've shown us great performance in Super Bowls and wins and you name it, and if Derek Carr's going to grow his hair for that extra strength, I'm behind him, and I'll keep on growing my hair just for that man.
Wait, like Samson? You thinking Derek Carr's like Samson?
Exactly. I was quoting that earlier, saying that he is like Samson, and if he's growing that strength to make him stronger, I'm all about it.
Wait, Hector, hold on 1 second, though. You're going to grow your hair in solidarity with Derek Carr. What kind of hair are you working with, Hector? I mean, who are we talking to?
You guys were talking about hair that was a little wiry and what have you. Mine's the same way, and I think mine's just happened to come out just like my mom's, who just recently passed. But
I'm sorry.
But my hair's long now, and I was thinking about cutting it. But once I seen Carr growing it, I was like, you know what? Let's let our strengths grow together. I'll be the strongest fan. He'll be the strongest quarterback in the NFL.
I love it, Hector. Keep it growing, man. And so sorry to hear about the passing of your mother, but keep it going.
Hector goes, is this Maggie Gray? She said, no, this is Andrew. Like, yeah, two choices there.
I missed an opportunity.
It was pretty obvious. So that dude's totally cutting his hair on next. If the Raiders lose, he's going to cut it all, right?
Well, but while they're still in the playoff hunt, you got to keep it going. I just wasn't sure if, like, you know, some men get a little delusional about their hair.
So
you know who you are.
Have you ever been on one of those sort of playoff streaks where something was working and you decided to do it?
Yeah, I did this last year. So
what'd you do?
Bills made it to the AFC Championship game. This is, believe me, the last time the Bills were going to the Super Bowls, I was nine. You know, I don't have these clear memories of that. So this is the first time the Bills have really been good since I've been a really little kid. And we were making our own home Buffalo wings.
Okay.
Amazing. My mom has this incredible, delicious recipe.
Sounds great.
Yeah, so we were making our own wings, so we had to make them every week.
Okay, I'm coming over for those for sure.
Well, and then when they end up losing to the Chiefs, it was very easy for me to eat my feelings because I just had all these wings around.
I haven't actually done something like that, like growing my hair out, but I'm a big, if you are in a room and something that happens is either good or bad for your team, you have to stay in that room or leave that room permanently. Mm. And the entire outcome of the game depends on that.
This is funny because you live in an apartment in New York City. Yeah. So how many rooms do you have?
So I have all these weird quirks, by the way. The other thing that I, you know, this just
would
us in America.
Take an elevator to go to like your neighbors and go watch
so
the game there?
If I bet on a game or one of my friends is playing, before the play starts, if this is embarrassing, I have to hit mute. And then I unmute, and then I mute. I have this totally OCD thing. So if I bet...
You're a prisoner own life.
I have completely OCD sporting things. Like, I have to put it on mute right before the play. Is that the weirdest thing you've ever heard?
And so you don't listen to the play?
I rarely listen to the play. Because if it's, say it's my buddy Andy Dalton, and he's about to get sacked, it's worse if you have the sound on for some reason. So I mute it, and that makes me handle it. I can barely handle it.
You know that this has done nothing to help Andy Dalton. That guy's gotten sacked so much, he's lucky he can walk. This is, you got to find a new quirk.
Yeah, it's also with betting, too. If the game is coming down the edge, like, my blood pressure will go through the roof. Fantasy football, it all, like, it just, for some reason, like, you know, in a scary movie when someone's about to get killed?
Yeah.
It's better if you hit mute. For me, I mute the football game right before. It just kind of takes it down a notch. Am I totally crazy?
No, I just, you know, listen, I don't know what you're going to say to your friend Jim Nance about this, because you're so worried about your friend Andy Dalton, but what about your friend Jim Nance?
That's okay, because I'm usually muting Tony Romo. At this point, this is before the play. I mentioned this before the play.
Because he makes you too nervous.
So
Romo's, every play is so big.
Yeah, every play is so big. He's trying to call exactly what's going to happen. He may or may not get it right. I never, never mute Jim. He's the best.
I was going to say, I mean, it's bad enough that you, you know, ticked off Mrs. Nance. I didn't want you to be in the doghouse with Mr. Nance.
You know, one guy who I do mute, and I like him, I think he's very smart, Troy Aikman is not afraid to criticize mid-level quarterbacks. He will rip them to shreds. So, you know, I like all the mid-level guys.
He does.
And I try and support them. He's the most honest commentator.
He will be very honest. Like, yeah. I wouldn't want to be Trevor Siemian listening to Troy Aikman do your game.
Exactly. Yeah. He will kill a Trevor Siemian. That's a perfect example.
Ian Book? I think they were doing that Saints game.
He's like, this guy is not ready for the NFL. I'm like, the poor guy. He's in his first year. Give him a break.
Yeah.
Troy is way too honest about quarterback play.
He's nicer to the UCLA guys, though. I noticed that. Let's go to Will. He's in North Carolina. Hey, Will, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Nothing much more to add than what y'all have already said, but I just want to say I like the new show. It's very entertaining. And but I'm an Oakland fan, and it's crazy, but this whole season I've been fascinated by the Bengals too. So, but I mean, somebody's got to go home, and I mean, all these games this weekend, with the exception of maybe one, and we all know it's the Chiefs and Pittsburgh. Any of them feel like they could go anyway. So,
absolutely.
Well, Will, I mean, you're diehard Raiders, and good luck to you this weekend.
I agree with what Will said. By the way, the Bengals and the Raiders, as you start out the segment, they have a similar vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, I agree. You don't really want to see either team lose. For me, though, if you're looking for a Cinderella story in this playoffs, he said the Steelers are the biggest underdog, but the Steelers can't be a Cinderella. They're the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Now, this is getting into some weird, bizarro territory with, like, the aging quarterback and the one last ride.
Yeah,
but this doesn't feel like Elway. This doesn't feel like Peyton Manning. This doesn't feel like other last rides.
That's a totally different narrative than the Cinderella team, which is ironic because the Raiders are one of the proud franchises of the NFL. They're totally the Cinderella of this whole field.
Yeah, well, that's just because, you know, they haven't really been a consistent playoff team in a while.
Yeah, and Rich Bisacci is their coach.
Yes, that's true. And we're not sure if he's still going to be the coach, but I think we're rooting for him. Anthony is in North Carolina. Hey, Anthony, how are you?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
We're doing great, man. What's on your mind?
Good, man. I mean, listen to the whole Derek Carr debate. I think that the Raiders are going to win this off of the strength that they have the ghost of John Gruden. Or not John Gruden, I'm sorry, John Madden.
I was going to say, did we miss something in Gruden? I know he's persona non grata, but I'm pretty sure he's alive.
His career might be dead, but he's alive.
Funnier.
Yeah, his career might be over for sure. But just a thought about like whether or not he wants to be traded even after his contract is over. I feel like he will want to opt out of Oakland, honestly, given the fact that the AFC West is probably going to be a very tough conference for the next decade, given the strength of the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Broncos. As a Broncos fan, I'm also biased, but I feel like we're a quarterback away from, you know, making something shake again. So I feel like if I'm Derek Carr, I win this game, my stock goes up, and I'm trying to get out of there.
Yeah, but he's got a lot of weapons. He's got Josh Jacobs, who's running back. He's got Darren Waller, one of the best tight ends. Hunter Renfrow, maybe the best slot wide receiver now. He's had, you know, he lost Henry Ruggs. He's got outside receivers. Again, I bring up the Giants. Imagine he goes to New York Giants. That's a team that's been losing consistently for 5 years. I think leaving this Raiders team by choice doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't think Derek Carr would ever be someone who would request a trade, first of all.
Like, just based on his personality and his loyalty to the team.
And again, we've talked about the egos of quarterbacks. I don't think they see themselves as, you know, oh, I'm so worried about Patrick Mahomes. I'm so worried about Justin Herbert, where, you know, you get to that level, you've talked yourself. Either you are one of the best, you have been your whole life, or you talk yourself into the fact that you are the best. So I just think it's more from the organization than it is from him.
Totally.
I think that he would stay and be a Raider his whole life. I don't think he would have a problem with that. I just think that if you are not planning on giving him another contract as the Raiders, that's this is all about the front office, about Mark Davis, whatever. If you're going to, if you're not going to give him another contract and you can get a first round pick, a late first round pick or whatever for Derek Carr, you got to do it.
Yeah, you know.
Set yourself up for the future.
It's just, take the Chargers game again. He was very, very good, but there's just a couple plays that he did not make that really could have put the game away, and he always seems to worry me like that. I'll decide on well, the game's on Saturday. I'll decide on Sunday if I'm into Derek Carr. It's a long-term answer. This is, I mean, I hate to be a cliche, but this is like everything. This game is a total consensus
man,
on him.
Way to really stake out your ground there.
Yeah.
You're going to wait till after the game to come up with a consensus?
Is it as simple
That's not the way sports talk media works.
God, this game has so much riding for the Raiders, and I know this, again, in cliche territory, but they're going to decide their coach and their quarterback future just based on a random game against the Bengals. This is huge.
Well, and also think about who's making the decision. Do you trust Mark Davis?
Oh, no, not even close. I mean, we've gone.
Silent Stu just looked over and shook his head solemnly. No. Yeah. And that was enough.
We see the same barber, but other than that, and I love his all-white outfit.
How dare you, actually? If you have the same barber of Mark Davis, then how dare anyone make fun of Derek Carr's hair?
Yeah. I do want to go to that stadium really badly. And I know you're afraid of cold weather, obviously.
No, Vegas is perfect for me.
Yeah. So we're down with that. It looks amazing on TV. I enjoy Vegas. I think that it's a draft there this year.
Another hot take by Perloff. Yeah, yeah. I enjoy Vegas. Oh, do you?
Yeah. I enjoy.
Wow, you're so unique.
I play the slots. I sit around. What's your game in Vegas?
Blackjack.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Are you good?
No. So here's my thing about playing blackjack. I am one of those people who I set aside the money, and once it's over, it's over. And I can walk away. So I don't bet very big, and I want to make it like I'm just here for the entertainment. I'm just here for the story. I'm not here to I know I'm going to lose the $200 or whatever, $100.
Right. But we call you Machiavellian Maggie because you're cruel and heartless.
Yep.
Do you let emotion get into your decisions based on blackjack, or you just go pure numbers?
No, it's usually Jack Daniels that gets into
I could see you.
But I never
I could see you losing money for sure.
I never sit at the last seat of the table because I don't want to be that person who's what do they call it? The anchor seat or something like that. I don't want to mess up anyone else's. I also go totally by the book. I'm splitting eights and aces. I'm not splitting face cards. I'm not Brandon Staley, okay, of the blackjack table. I'm not going for it on fourth and one from my own 18.
Okay. So the draft was supposed to be in Vegas. Did they get a Super Bowl? What's coming up there?
No, the draft is going to be there.
Yeah. Are we going? April 28th, the draft in Vegas. We'll lose all our pay at the tables. Yeah, that'd be fun.
What's your game?
My game is, the only games I really know how to play are blackjack and poker. And I got to be honest, I'm just way too much of a wimp to get there on the poker table. I basically have about 1,000,000 tells. I panic in about 3 seconds.
You're muting the game somehow?
Yeah.
What? How did that follow you here?
Do you know anyone with less of a poker face than me?
You would be... I can't. You know what? I'm so glad that we live in the year 2022 and not in the old Wild West.
Oh, my God.
Because you would have gotten shot. One of those old-timey, old Western poker games. You're not making it.
Yeah, if I have two pairs, I'm giddy. I'm laughing uncontrollably.
You're just getting robbed left and right.
No. Maybe we shouldn't go to the draft because I think we're definitely coming out losers.
We'll get back to more of your phone calls in just a minute. We see you guys. Another X factor that's not being discussed about the Bills-Patriots game. It's not the weather. Something real. We'll bring it to you next.